In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and on the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things, of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath or confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I've read these scriptures many times, and this morning there was a portion of the scripture that just popped out. The portion of scripture that popped out is going to be contained in the 11th verse. The title of the message today is The Full Assurance of Faith and Hope. And the full assurance of hope and faith is what we want to talk about. Now, if you read that verse of scripture, it says, and we desire. In other words, we strongly or earnestly desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance. He says the full assurance of hope. Not temporarily, but he says to the end. Now, we find that this verse of scripture, the full assurance of hope, is also contained in the 10th chapter, but it's used a little bit differently. And it talks about the full assurance of faith. But before we look at that, and as we get ready to go into this message, the word hope is used at least three times here in this passage, And the word hope that is contained in the 11th verse and the 18th verse comes from a Greek word, elpis, which means to show forth the true spirit of our hope. Now, as we show forth the true spirit of our hope, he says to do that unto the end. Now, something else we need to understand is the word assurance. Before we can understand what the word of full assurance is referring to concerning our hope and our faith, and I'm speaking to those that have truly been saved, the apostle who wrote this, or I would assume that it was Apostle Paul, it may or may not be, but whether it is or whether it isn't, he started out by saying, I don't need to remind you or go back and to explain to you the doctrines of Christ and the perfection and the doctrine of baptism and all these other things. He says you should know those quite well. But I want you to take notice to some other things in your lifetime that you need to be aware of. The word assurance here, when we think about it, we're thinking about something that we're assured of, but that's not what the word means. The Greek word means conviction. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So what he's saying is we need the full conviction of hope and faith. Not that we would be convicted of having hope and faith, that there would be enough of our hope and our faith that is displayed to everyone that we come in contact with, that someone could convict you or me of having hope and faith. Did you know that's what it's saying? Listen to what it says. This writer says, I strongly desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full conviction of hope to the end, is what that's saying. Now, you might say, well, Brother Spurgeon, I'm starting to see a little bit about what you're talking about, but let me give you a portion of the definition of conviction that Webster gives us in 1828. And that is this. The act of convincing or compelling one to admit the truth of a charge. The act of convincing of sin or sinfulness. The state of being convinced or convicted by conscience. That's the second definition of it. I want to ask every one of us that are here today and members of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, is there enough evidence to convict us, each individual, that we have a strong consolation of the hope and faith that God gave us? Yeah. I thought maybe after I read that verse, I would just stop and say, how did that make you feel? After reading these verses in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, how did it make you feel? Now focus on the full assurance of hope. And before you do that, go to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. You're going to find this in verse 22. Now the word hope here and the word faith, the word hope that is utilized means to show forth the true spirit of our hope to the end. But then the writer goes on to say, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. That word assurance, you're going to find it two places. You're going to find it in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews in verse 11. And you're going to find that word by the same translation of the word assurance, conviction, right here. It means the full conviction of faith. The word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means our true faithfulness and steadfastness. If there's ever an age and a time where there needs to be a body of people on the earth that shows forth the true assurance, the true conviction of hope and faith, it should be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get there? The Apostle Paul goes on to say, the writer of Hebrews, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Did you hear what it said in the definition there? The state of being convinced or convicted by conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, for remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful, in looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. I wasn't going to read that, but God said, read on a little bit further. And so as we look at this word, full assurance, the full assurance of hope, the full assurance of faith, that is the full conviction of these two subjects. So the question is posed to me this morning. How can we display the full assurance of our hope and faith? How do we do that? Well, I came up with three things that we should focus on in our daily walks of life so that others may see the strong faith and hope that we have. If you're going to have hope and faith, and if you're going to be convicted of that and have a full assurance of that, make sure, number one, make sure Jesus Christ is the foundation of our hope. For you see, he is the solid rock. He's the solid rock that the writer in the book of Hebrews said. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. If you've been truly saved by God's grace, you put your hope and trust and all of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to hold it till the end. Amen. This old ship's getting more rusty every day. But our hope and our faith is renewed. It's renewed. And my strength is renewed. It's refreshed. Because I know that my hope is in something far greater than anything that's ever been or ever will be in this world. If there's one thing that I want to impress upon everyone that's here today, is that our faith and our hope in Christ, it can be just as strong as it was, and stronger and stronger and stronger, and we'll lay hold to the source and from which it comes. And that is Jesus Christ. For if you hope in any other, you'll be on sinking sand. But if your hope is in Christ, the true rock of our salvation, then it will be anchored, and no one can pull that anchor out. It's going to be just sealed, as the Bible says, in the day of redemption. It is sealed with a promise. And you know, I read in these verses of scripture, I don't know if you noticed it, I didn't stop, but did you notice in verse 12 after he said to the full assurance of hope until the end that he didn't stop there? He said that ye may not be slothful. In other words, disinterested or lazy. I think a lot of people, they lose sight of the hope that you have because we just got too slothful. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying beware of that. That's what the writer says. But listen to what else he said. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what? Did he say promise? Did you notice it says promises? It's plural. We have not even come close to obtaining all the precious promises that we have, that we hope for, of the full assurance and convictions that God has in store for every one of us that are truly saved by His grace. And for you that are not saved, you're missing out on promises after promise after promise that you can have if you really want it. So, how can we display the full assurance or convictions of our hope and faith? First of all, make sure Jesus Christ is the foundation of our hope and our faith. The next thing that came to me kind of goes along with what we read in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But in that one verse, when it talks about, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed from pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Who is faithful that promised? Where do all these promises come from? They come from one source. They come from God. So, the next thing that we need to be conscious of is, how can we display the full assurance of our hope and faith by leaning on the entire human, by the leaning of the entire human personality of God in absolute? What I'm trying to say is, we need to put our entire human personality. Ron Spurgeon, I'll just put it like this. For us to be truly convicted of the assurance of the hope and faith that is within us and by us, we need to lean the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness every day of our life. Every day of our life. I'm saying this is not something that's real easy to do. It's not. I understand that. But the objective or the goal is to have enough evidence to convince every one of us, whether we're in the church or whether we're out in the world. Can that person that's out there, can that person that's in here look at each one of us and say, that person, there's something about their personality that's different from everybody else's? And if the difference is this, that we put our absolute trust and confidence not in man, not in governments, not in the world, not in science, not in all the things that this world offers. But if we put our trust and our confidence in His power, how much power today is going, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I sense that there is an awesome amount of God's power that goes unused. Do you understand what I'm saying? He made us promises. He said, I am the Almighty. I am the omnipotent God. I am all powerful. And sometimes we lose sight of that. I lose sight of that. I'm not preaching to anybody else but myself today. I, God, want to draw full assurance. I want to be convicted. I want to be convicted of utilizing all
How many people in the Bible witnessed the great power of God right before their very eyes? Some people can see him at just the snap of a finger and just take it away and saw the awesome power of God. And it wasn't just a few moments of time and sometimes a few days. They forget all about that. And there's one thing that I want all of us to do today is don't forget who our awesome power comes from. We're here today because of the awesome power of God. And because of his awesome power and his wisdom and his goodness, if there's any conviction of the hope and the faith that I have, it's because of those things, not of me. It's all of him. And you'll not ever witness, or you will not ever partake of any of those promises if you don't get the first one right. Make sure Jesus Christ is the foundation of your hope and your faith. So by leaning on the entire human personality of God, putting our entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence, his power, his wisdom, his goodness. Now the third thing, those are things that are pretty tough to attain. They are for me. Maybe they're not for you. But I sense that it's been very difficult for a lot of people of our generation. To just lay it at the feet of Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen a year from now. There's a lot of hurting people in society. And a lot of people say, why is God allowing this to happen? That's why he's God. Who else is going to pick us in broken pieces? Who else can we put and confide our hope and our faith in? I know of no other that I would rather. And so we come to the point where there's a lot of things that would keep me from being convicted of that hope and that faith. Or the full assurance, but that doesn't mean that we should quit striving for that. And you say, well, and this ought to be the simplest part of the message, and yet it may be some of the most difficult things that we deal with, especially in our day and age that we live in. How can we display the full assurance or convictions of our hope and our faith? Listen real closely. By genuinely, and I'm talking about being genuine. By genuinely caring for others. This is just a hypothetical, but how sad that would be for your boss to come and ask you, because he knows that you're going through cancer treatments, and tell them, evidently he's got some confidence in this man's hope and faith that he has, that he would come and say, would you talk to another young man that has been diagnosed with cancer? How sad it would be for that person that was asked to genuinely show the care for a person you've never even met or know,
to share what you've gone through to get where you're at today. And they just said, I can't do that. How can we display the full assurance of our hope and faith by genuinely caring for others more than ourselves? What is the first commandment of all? Do you know what the first commandment of all is? Do you know Jesus was asked that question by at least two groups of people? The full assurance of our hope and faith is displayed on earth by genuinely caring for others more than self. You see, we can say that we know or we don't know, or we can quote the first commandment of all. But in order for us to be convicted of our true hope and faith, it's going to have to be more evident in our daily walks than just talking about it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 18. Well, I did not tell you the right verse. Got the right chapter, but I've got a typo. It's the 28th verse. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength.'" Jesus said, "This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. So, what is that? What is this first commandment of all? Jesus went on to explain in Matthew chapter 22, and if that sounds familiar, it's because that's where our Sunday school teacher was reading from today. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 34. By genuinely caring for others more than self and working on this daily, I believe we'll be able to come to the full assurance of hope and faith. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." I can get up here and tell you this is what we should do, what you ought to do, what we need to do, what we must do. But until we put it into practice, I'll let God be the judge of that. The writer said, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." The writer went on to say in the same book, using the same terminology, using the same word, "Let us draw near with a true heart to full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. God is going to be faithful in everything. That's just Him. I challenge all of us that we would draw a full assurance of hope and faith. That's what the Lord laid upon our heart today. Tough subject for me. Shouldn't be. But the reason I say that is because I feel like I fall way short of it. And I want to do better. And I feel like God wants us to as well. If you're going through some hard times, tough decisions you've had to make, going to make, just draw full assurance and conviction in your hope and your faith. Consult God. And He will provide the peace that we need. And even when it seems like others are prospering, and we should always just love the Lord God with all of our heart and our neighbors as ourselves. And if we'll do that, I believe God will be, it said to the end. You know, I don't know about you, but when I get to the end, there's really one thing that I hope and pray that will be said when I get before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's this: "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love His appearing." That's what Paul said through Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That's my heart's desire for each and every one of us, that we'll be prepared when we stand before the Lord, and that He will be able to say that about each one of you. You say, "But Brother Spurgeon, I don't know that I've done that much." You being here today and listening to this message, you just don't understand what impact that has on the lives of others and pleasing the Lord. You have pleased the Lord today. Especially if you came with an open heart and an open mind to serve Him and to serve one another.
It's recorded in a perfect document. But the righteous judge has recorded for each one of you. You might even feel sorry for yourself and say, well, I've come and I just keep on coming. What's the use? The use is you have honored him. Nothing else really matters. It just shows that you love him. And you love him because why? Because he first loved us. So let's draw full assurance, full conviction, that hope and faith that is laid before us. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, there's so many promises in the Bible, I can't begin to thank the Lord for all of them.